For many women, to say where they used to shop for clothes means identifying themselves by age. In the early decades of the 20th century, small family stores and company catalogs provided what women wanted, while the wealthy and fashion-conscious had their own private European couturiers. Then, in mid-century, high-end mid-Manhattan department stores emerged. Among them, Bonwit Teller, Lord & Taylor, and Henry Bendel, all closed now. Today, online and mall outlets are the norm, but what a time when those elegant giants offered distinctive clothing in distinctive settings and transformed fashion and the related marketing industry. And at the helm of three of those illustrious companies were women. Inexperienced when they started, but creative, visionary, ambitious, and effective. That time and its lasting influence on the economy and the culture of this country is the theme of journalist Julie Satow's highly readable new book, When Women Ran Fifth Avenue, Glamour and Power and the Dawn of American Fashion. In short chapters that break off at cliffhanging moments and with candid-looking black and white photos, Satow presents the stories of three overlooked, strong, complex women who led the change at these carriage trade emporiums. Hortense Odlum, 1881 to 1970, of Bonwit Teller. Dorothy Shaver, 1893 to 1959, of Lord & Taylor, and Geraldine Stutz, 1924 to 2005, of Bendel. Satow also manages to slip in fascinating facts about black women entrepreneurs and tidbits such as the origin of the star apostrophe in Macy's logo. It was based on a tattoo of founder Roland Macy's hand. The transformation these three women wrought was both inside and out. They reconfigured floor space and created eye-catching displays. They were women who appreciated art, and they got artists to assist them. Odlum hired the notorious surrealist Salvador Dali for window displays. Shaver created those iconic script pen and ink wash ads for Lord & Taylor. And Stutz worked with Andy Warhol on illustrations. Under their guidance, they attracted wealthy investors and clients, and Midtown Fifth Avenue became a concentration of chic, taste-changing, cutting-edge go-to meeting places with hair salons, art galleries, restaurants, tea rooms, and select boutique areas. Men's haberdashery was included, but the women decided what to offer and how. They were the shoppers, the models, the salespeople, and the prospective careerists in merchandising, public relations, designs, and accounting. The stores thrived until they didn't. Unable to compete against the more numerous and ever-popular downtown stores, Macy's, Gimbel's, Filene's, run by men, who would start undercutting them with discounts, bargain basement lures, phony imitations from Europe, huge parking lots, night and Sunday hours, and soon, hip boutiques for the young. And then came the internet. As Satow shows, Odlum, Shaver, and Stutz were not cut from the same cloth, nor were they influential at the same time. But they each experienced pain on their way up the business ladder, suffering conflicts between personal and professional lives. And as the board and budget reports showed, for all their success, were given lower pay than men. Still, they paved the way for the American look in fashion and fashion magazines. Shaver even spearheaded new uniforms for nurses on the front in World War II. Satow does note that obstacles for women high up in the workforce remain. but she feels that her own daughter will have an easier time of it, in part because of the pioneering women featured here. I'm Joan Bowden.